Well, it's been a long time since Jamie and I have exchanged gifts at Christmas, but as I was preparing this message, I couldn't help but think about what my wish list would be for Christmas. How about you? What is your wish list for Christmas this year for yourself and for others, either in your family or your close friends? Sometimes, isn't it a struggle to come up with the perfect gift for the special people in your life? Well, here's a question that even has greater importance. What do you give Jesus as we celebrate His birthday? What do you give Jesus as you celebrate His birthday? You know, I'm sure there have been years in my life that that question never even occurred to me. After all, that's, you know, yeah, we celebrate His birth, but what does that mean for us other than I'm going to get some presents on Christmas morning, right? What do you give Jesus as we celebrate His birthday? Seems to be the question of the season. After all, as we've been hearing the last several weeks, Christmas is not your birthday. We are celebrating Jesus' birthday. So how can we change the traditional focus of Christmas from a time for us to get gifts to a time of giving Jesus what He desires on His birthday, or at least when we celebrate His birthday? How do we make it less about us and more about Him? What do you give the one whom the universe was created through? I mean, after all, right? Well, praise God, Jesus taught. As Jesus taught, He made His wish list, quote-unquote, pretty clear. And today's teaching is one of those moments. Our scripture for today relates to His return and the day of final judgment. If you would get those Bibles back out, whether it's on your Nook or your phone or the physical Bible in the pew. And if we turn back to Matthew 25, I apologize. I should have had you keep those out, guys. But Matthew 25, and let's look at verse 31. Let's look at verse 31. So this, I'm just going back to introduce actually our scripture for today. So Matthew 25, verse 31. Now this is what Jesus tells us. Jesus says in 31, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.'" You know, the people within, around Jesus that were hearing His story, as well as those in His story, were confused. And they asked, when was it that we did all these things? And Jesus says in verse 40, that is our scripture for today, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of My family, you did it to Me." Although we now understand Jesus' wish list, we can see that Jesus' wish list involves discipleship, doesn't it? Jesus made it clear that you can't separate your relationship with God from your responsibility for God's people. Let's say this together. You can't separate your relationship with God from your responsibility for God's people. Let's reread it and make it personal, okay? I can't separate my... Can we do that? Even though the words aren't up there, can we do that? I can't separate my relationship with God from my responsibility for God's people. Ponder that for just a moment. I can't separate my relationship with God from my responsibility for God's people. 1 John tells us that our direct involvement in meeting people's needs is primary evidence of our rebirth in Christ. Our direct involvement in meeting people's needs is primary evidence of our rebirth in Christ. If you turn to the right farther in your Bible, almost to the back of your Bible, you come to a book called 1 John. It is not the Gospel of John. It is an epistle, 1 John. If you would turn to chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. This is a verse that we tend to gloss over when we read. And it goes like this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love one another, right? We know. Now listen again. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Now if we continue on and we move down to verse 16. 16 through 18. 1 John tells us, we know love by this, that He... Jesus laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and in action. You see, we serve God when we serve others. Does that make sense? We serve God when we serve others. We actually fulfill Jesus' wish list when we sacrifice our time, when we sacrifice our talents, and when we sacrifice our resources to meet others' needs in His name. We fulfill Jesus' wish list when we sacrifice our time, talents, and resources to meet others' needs in His name. You see, the church is the body of Christ. We are the only hands, feet, and wallets that God has. Have you ever thought about that? We are the body of Christ. We are the only hands, feet, and wallets that God has. So many times we expect miracles, don't we? I mean, this is a praying church. I'm sure each and every one of us have prayed for miracles, and that is awesome. I pray for miracles, and we wait many times, and wait, and wait, and we wonder why God hasn't provided a miracle. But what we don't realize is that God has provided you to be the miracle. God has provided you to be the miracle. An example, and he doesn't know I'm going to do this, and I hope I don't irritate him, but I was so appreciative last night, because when I came to church and was getting the church warmed up for the soup dinner and the cantata and everything, we're going to have a lot of folks in here, not just you, but also visitors from other churches and things that can't go to Cedar Grove, and I was down... turning on, anyway, the furnace that controls the Sunday school rooms up here is in a closet downstairs, and whenever I walked by, I felt all this hot air coming out of it. And I felt the flu very carefully, because I have done that before and got blistered for it. But I felt the flu, and it was ice cold. And the first thing I did was call Robbie Lane. And guess what he did? On a Saturday night, he came. And he helped. Because guess what happens when a flu is clogged up? In Liberty, it happened to the Dirks family with a hot water heater. And we couldn't figure out why Paul and Jamie couldn't get out of bed whenever I was in seminary. It was carbon monoxide poisoning, right? We're blessed that Paul is still here today because of that, right? So one way, Robbie's expertise is that, right? He was God's hands and feet to this church and the people that worshiped here last night. Amen? You see, God provided you, folks, to be that miracle. The resources of heaven don't fall from the sky. They are released through God's people. Are you with me today? All right, let's read this together. The resources of heaven don't fall from the sky. They are released through God's people. And who is our God's people? All y'all. Every once in a while, Oklahoma comes out. The resources of heaven don't fall from the sky. They're released through God's people. God creates miracles through the resources that you and I hold in our hands. Amen? Think about what happened throughout Scripture. If you're having questions about believing what I'm saying, listen to this. And I'm not going to give you quotes, but you can write these down and you can look them up in Scripture. And I give God praise that you will. All right? Think about what happened throughout Scripture. Moses' staff. Moses had a staff, right? What did he do with it? No. I mean before he was called with his staff. What did he do with it? He herded sheep, right? He protected his sheep from lions and everything else and people, right? But yet God called Moses and his staff. How about David's 5 smooth stones that he picked up out of the creek and killed Goliath with? How about the widow's oil? How about the 6 jars of water at a wedding reception? Remember, Jesus told them to go get those 6 jars of water. What happened if they would have said, "Sorry, those are being used for something else, Jesus"? Jesus wouldn't have had his first miracle that's recorded in the Bible, would he? So who knows if the second one would have come? No, just kidding. But you understand what I'm saying? The water was there. And they allowed Jesus to use it for his miracle. How about another widow that Jesus talks about that had 2 small coins? And what does Jesus say about that widow and her gift of 2 small coins? Oh, how about this one? A boy's lunch of 5 pieces of bread and 2 small fish for over 10,000 people. These are the resources that miracles are made of. Like the disciples many times, and for many of us, here is our response. All right? Here's our response. My words are in here. But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is way too many people for that. But we are living in the greatest recession since the Great Depression. But you don't understand, Jesus. We can't afford to pay both our mortgage and the healthcare premium in the same month. But Jesus, we are just a medium-sized struggling church and don't have resources. But, do you know what I say? Maybe it's time to commit to losing our big butts and start being the Christians we claim that we are. How about that? Maybe it's time we commit to losing our big butts and start being the Christians we claim we are. Have you ever considered the fact that Jesus doesn't save us to get us into heaven, but to get heaven into us? That's something many of you will have to think about. Have you ever considered the fact that Jesus doesn't save us to get us into heaven, but to get heaven into us? Have you ever considered that Jesus saves us for the purpose of channeling the resources of heaven onto earth? Have you ever considered these things? Have you ever considered the fact that Jesus needs the simple 5 loaves and 2 fish that you hold in your hand, no matter how futile you believe your financial situation may be? Do you believe that? Have you ever considered these things? When we obediently release what is in our hands, Jesus blesses it, multiplies it, and then gives it back for us for the purpose of distribution. You can read the Gospels. Jesus is continually asking for things, blessing things, and giving those same things back. But guess what? When Jesus gives them back, what are they? They are so much more than they were when we gave it to Him. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? God releases the resources of heaven through obedient people. You are created to be the channel through which God's blessings flow to meet the needs of God's children. But Jesus needs what you are holding, what I am holding in your hand and in my hand. Let's read that. And again, just so this makes your brain kind of click a little bit, let's change everything to personal, right? Let's read it together. I am created to be the channel through which God's blessings flow to meet the needs of God's children. But Jesus needs what I am holding in my hand. An awesome thing that this church does just happened on Friday. Many of you participated in our angel tree that was in the back. And it's a part of a larger community organization that gets everything into one place, right? And then all of us take families that aren't going to be able to have Christmas this year. And there's always more, because they have to sign up at a certain time, right? So we can actually get gifts for them. And those of you who were here on Thursday night or Friday morning saw that not only was our angel tree gifts given away on Friday, but also the community organization was here. And so the families came and accepted their Christmas here. And Justin was here to be a part of that. But it was just awesome to see the love of this church community and other people in this community that is helping others get a Christmas. Help their children, not the adults. Help their children get something for Christmas. So on Christmas morning, if you participated in that, in your mind's eye, you can think about what those children will be like when they open the gift that you got. The hands and feet of Jesus. Think of all the possibilities of filling Jesus' wish list that are within your reach through the ministries of this church, where you can be the hands and the feet and the financial support in the name of Jesus. We heard of a new ministry this morning, new to us, Voice of the Martyrs. All Connie is asking for is prayer or letters, but if you want to do more than that, you are always welcome. These are people who have stepped out to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and have been arrested. Many have been beaten. Many have had things taken away from them, including their families. Many are abused and imprisoned. And there are many things that much worse that have happened to them, simply because they're spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. How about our benevolence fund that supports church folks and local folks get to the doctor, pay their bills, have a little Christmas? You have an opportunity to give to that any time, but here in worship service, if you've ever wondered what the money laying on this railing up here is after communion, it is people giving to that benevolence fund. We give God praise, especially the people that receive it, give God praise for those that give. But lately, Sarah has to turn away more people than she can help. That is a direct way in this community that you can be the hands and the feet of Jesus. How about the Benton County Youth Coalition, or you might hear it as BCYC. It supports activities and education for our teenagers so that they can be drug and alcohol free in their activities. How about Ignite, our youth program here at the church that has about 30 youth every Sunday that gather right here? And for many, it is a warm meal for them, and it is a community of kids that love and support them. Three weeks ago, we got to see some of their leadership in leading the worship. How about our United Methodist apportionments that support missions and missionaries locally and around the world? They allow us to build churches. They allow us to dig wells for fresh water. They allow us to buy nets to stop malaria, provide salaries for pastors, etc., etc. So much that I even don't know all that apportionments do. But it allows your dollar to make a difference all over this world. How about the ministries of our local church? By tithing to this local church, you help us provide these ministries both locally and again around the world through our apportionments. You enable us to provide this place of worship for you through First Church. In this community, especially, that allows each and every one who gives to this church and its ministries to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Again, fulfilling Jesus' wish list. Amen. So, folks, as we move closer to Christmas, when we celebrate Jesus' birthday, let us fulfill Jesus' birthday wish list. Amen. We have so many ways to do it. But guess what? If we go all the way back here, each of us are created to be the channel through which God's blessings flow to meet the needs of God's children. But Moses had to lay his staff down. You hear what I'm saying? Moses had to let it go before God could use it. Each of us, whatever it is that we have, whether it's money or talent or time or prayer, or leadership, whatever it is, or maybe it's all of the above, we have to let it go into God's hand, and Jesus will bless it and return it to us in such huge portions that our cup will be overflowing. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for the ability to gather together here, free of fear. Through Connie, Lord, we have learned that many in this day and age around the world cannot gather free of fear. They cannot proclaim Jesus' name free of fear. They cannot pray in a restaurant over a meal free of fear. Help us be your agents in this world. Help us be your hands and feet, God. Help us understand that you place us so that we can be your miracle in this. Help us fulfill Jesus' wish list this Christmas as we celebrate his birthday. It's in his name that we pray.